Right now, we have a special guest who's going to be joining us on the line, who will be at Noble Horizons on Sunday, March 1st at 2 p.m., talking about the fight for global justice and children's rights. We're going to welcome to Robin Hood Radio this morning, Abraham Kita. Abraham, good morning.
Good morning, Marsha, and good morning to your listening audience. It's a pleasure to join you this morning.
Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Keita.
Okay, Keita. Well, yeah. Abraham,
You can just call me Abraham. That's fine.
Okay, Abraham. Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us. How long have you been in the Salisbury area? Have you been here a week or so, or a couple of weeks, or do you live here?
Yeah, I've been here since last September. I attend the Hotchkiss School, which is a private boarding school here in Lakeville. I'm here as a senior, as a PG, and then after a year, I will be going on to Yale University, where I have gained full admission.
So you're gonna go from Hotchkiss to Yale?
Yeah, absolutely. I applied to Yale a couple of months back. That was in 2018, but March I gained my admissions into Yale, and then Yale was like, "Oh, Abraham, given that you come from a country where the education system is, I think, amongst the lowest of the low, even though my SAT grades said otherwise, but we'd like you to come to Hotchkiss, and so that we can you can have a firsthand, you know, experience of the American educational system," and I obliged, even though I had a choice to select another school, but I chose Hotchkiss after reading about it, and I was like, well, I think this would be an interesting experience to come to Hotchkiss and then from here and then go to Yale. I should have come last year, 2018 September, but then there were some issues with my visa, and I could not come. But I'm glad to be here.
Well, Abraham, it's great to speak to you. And Hotchkiss is quite the destination. And just this past weekend, were you part of the International Day which they had at Hotchkiss this past weekend?
Absolutely, I was part of it. I had the opportunity to cook a Liberian soup, Liberian dish, which is very famous in Liberia. And yes, it was a cultural festival. I had the opportunity to talk about Liberia and showcase something from my culture, which was appreciated, and I felt glad that I was asked to do this, and it was an opportunity for me to tell people, students, about my culture and some of the things that make Liberia the country that it is.
We are speaking with Abraham Kita, and now here's the punchline here, folks. We are so lucky in our area to have so many different people from so many different countries visit us, whether it's at Hotchkiss or whether it's at Housatonic or one of the other schools that come to our area. But Abraham is the Children's International recipient of the Peace Prize. Abraham, how did that happen?
Back in 2015, I was nominated for the International Children's Peace Prize, which is like the Nobel Prize category of the for children. So when I was nominated, by someone who in Liberia who didn't know me. His name being Vendela Patricks. He reached out to me and was like, "Oh, Abraham, I have followed your work. I have seen these things you've been doing over the years, and I nominated you for this award." And the first time when he reached out to me, I thought it was a scam, and I thought it was something fraudulent, and I was like, "No, you don't play on my intelligence by telling me that you have nominated me for this award." Because when I read about the award, I saw people like Malala Yousafzai, the Pakistani education activist, you know, who had won this award before. You know, this is not something that I'm going to win. I don't see myself winning this. And well, fast forward to October, November 2015, I was told that, well, I would be awarded this International Children's Peace Prize out of an application pool of more than 100 children from around the world. And that's how it is. But I appreciate the fact that I won an international award. Even though my goal when I started activism, it was not about receiving international recognition. So it was about standing up to the injustices that children face. It was about telling the government back home that in order for Liberia to become a better country, the rights of children, the livelihoods and the well-being of children ought to be at the top of their priorities.
You know, we're speaking once again with Abraham Keita, who you can hear speak at Noble Horizons on March 1st. I look at your story, and basically, you really have been fighting for children's rights since you were nine. But I'm going to go back before that. Your father was killed when you were 5 years old, right?
My father was actually killed when I was 2 years old. That was in 2003. My father was killed. If you see some of the information online, it'll be like, "Oh, Abraham is five," but then there is an issue there. But then I was actually 2 years old. My father was killed. That was the last stage of the 14 years Liberian Civil War, and that was one of the reasons why I sort of like developed a passion to stand up against violence, because I felt like my right to a fatherly love was snatched away from me at an early age, and I didn't get to see my father, so that also played into why I became an activist to stand up against violence. But more importantly, I was born in a community where children's rights, especially girls' rights, were often violated. I was born in a community where my sisters were not considered important. Their names would only come out in conversations when it was about marriage, and I felt it was something was wrong with that. And I was like, somebody has to stand up and say enough is enough. Which I did, especially when a 13-year-old girl was brutally raped by her foster father in my neighborhood, and I decided to stand up and say, and I decided to join the protest. And so we need justice. And I've been doing that since 2007, 2008.
Now, also, you were one person also involved in advocating for the establishment of the children law, which was in 2011. Did you ever fear for your own life while you were doing all these things?
I think. The lives of activists, have always been an issue in activism. You know, whenever you decide to be an activist, just know that you have sacrificed your life for a greater good. So there was never once a time when I felt afraid. So when we started demanding that the legislature enact the children's law, I did so, you know, without feeling any fear. Even though I know there were people, especially my mother, who was worried about my life. But I think as an activist, when the first time you become an activist or the first time you stand up against a call for a cause, that's when your life becomes a selfless one. You decide to lay your life down so that others can have benefits, can live a better life. And even though I've received occasional threats, at one time being order arrested, that was 2017, when I stand up to a lawmaker who raped a 13-year-old girl. I've always faced threats, but I've been once in my life been afraid, because I know that in order for my country to become better, in order for the world to become better, you know, we will have to, there should be people who have to lay down their lives, even at the cost of death.
We're speaking with Abraham Keita, who's going to be at Noble Horizons on Sunday, March 1st at 2 p.m. I suggest that you call ahead at Noble Horizons or else email them and set up your registration. It's a free event, but I've got a feeling it's going to be a packed house. Noblehorizons.org. Okay, so now you're a senior at Hotchkiss School. Boy, the travels and the journeys in your life in the past 9 years, you really, is it easy to adjust coming to a country like America and still continue to do the hard work that is demanded of Hoshka students and the time, and also continue on your activism? I mean, is it something that is easy to juggle? Are you used to it now?
To a relative extent, I think I'm used to it now. When I came, my first month at Hoshkies was kind of hectic. Even though before I came to Hoshkies, I had been to the U.S. Multiple times, especially coming to speak at the UN. But when I came to Hoshkies, it was a completely different experience, because this one was about education, and I quickly adjusted, and I still continue my activism. I'm still involved with the work. I was involved in the committee that I'm part of within the UN or international organizations, and I've been working with kids from March for Our Lives and in other institutions here in America, where I try to contribute, you know, my quota to the cause of activism. So, like you said, it's true. Hoshkies is extremely demanding. You have to study. There is always homework. There's always assignment. Always a paper to write. Always a book to read. I've also used that opportunity to read more. You know, where I come from, we have limited resources. So when I came to Hoshkies and saw this very rich library where I can read books, I can read about anybody I want to read about. I can take a book and read about Martin Luther King Jr., read about Mahatma Gandhi, and read about Nelson Mandela, and read about Malcolm X. I mean, a different civil rights activist. You know, that is something that has amazed me, and I feel grateful, and I feel lucky to be at Hoshkies because of the resources I have access to.
So now you leave Hoshkies at the end of the year and you go to Yale. When you're finished with Yale and you're out there, do you plan to go back to your country, get into politics, try to force the change that way, or are you going to further continue what you're trying to do on a global scale?
Absolutely. Whether or not I will get into politics, that is something I don't know, but I sure know that I will continue my activism, you know, whether I'm in politics or not. And as for the global stage, this is something I've always been involved into. I consider myself a global citizen. I don't want my activism to be bounded by just a region. Maybe if I want to speak in Liberia or on the African continent, I want to talk about issues in America, which is why in March 2018, when I was here, I joined the March for Our Lives in Washington, D.C., and I've been joining other marches here in the U.S., you know, climate change and other stuff, because these are things that have no violence, has no borders, you know. Climate change has no borders. It's not restricted to certain region or certain people. It affects us all. So my global activism, even going to you and beyond you, is something that I want to do. Whatever I study, whatever I end up studying, I will still stick to my activism, because I believe that is one of the means via which society has changed. All of the people we read about who left indelible marks in human history, obviously, I know they have mathematicians and philosophers and other people, but activists leave the biggest mark because they stand up for their fellow humans, which is why if you read the story of the physicist Albert Einstein, in his life, he prioritized the issue of human rights and civil rights, and because he reached a point where he knew that the world cannot be transformed, you know, to just crunching numbers, but it requires people standing up for real change and people putting their lives on the line to make the world a better place, which is what I see as my calling.
Well, Abraham, all I can say is I hope that other students that are listening, whether they attended Hotchkiss or whether they attended one of the high schools around here, look at you and what you've done in the short time you've been around and the impact that you've made on the world. And I think it shows that a person with enough passion and enough strength can overcome just about any obstacle. And I congratulate you on your journey so far. And I look forward to following your activities in the future. The world, this country and the world needs a lot more students and children to grow up and understand the worldwide problems are also our local problems. So much success to you in the future. And we hope a lot of people come out and hear you talk on Sunday at Noble Horizons.
Thank you so much, Masha. It's a pleasure speaking with you and for giving me the opportunity to talk to your audience.
All right. Have a great day. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.